Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
Hello, you fine Bumble folk who listen to the Bumblecast on this fine Bumble Day. It is Bumble Day, right?
Every day is Bumble Day, man.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm from one day to the next.
I'm glad every day is Bumble Day. That makes it easy, so you can listen any day, and it's still Bumble Day. So whenever that intro is evergreen, man, perfect. Thank you.
Well, not too evergreen, because today's episode is nothing but priority Q&A, because we are working our way through the backlog, but we will be coming back to you later this week with an additional episode that will be all standard Q&A.
Indeed. Well, let's not waste any freaking time. Let's go ahead and get right into it. You know how to ask questions, right? Whatever, you figure it out. Nobody needs to know. We have so many questions, maybe hold off for a little while. All right, let's jump on into it. Starting off with one from Noni. With DuckTales finishing their reboot and the Darkwing Duck still in production, which Disney afternoon / one Saturday morning show do you think needs a comeback in our modern age? And why is it Gummy Bears?
I mean, you tempt me. I would love to see that, but at the same time, I would worry about them getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, new DuckTales did a lot of cool stuff, but there are some pacing and some plot points that I question, so it's not like it was a flawless execution, but it was certainly enjoyable. So something akin to that, I guess, would be palatable. It'd be fine. I would be very surprised if we didn't see Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, at this point. That's what I want. Rescue Rangers.
Like, I feel like that is the standout most popular one.
Aside from DuckTales, yeah.
Yeah.
And Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know Tailspin has its fans, and there's bound to be someone out there who wants to see Bonkers, or what was the springy cheetah pattern thing?
That's Bonkers, wasn't it?
No.
I also love Tailspin, too, so. The bouncy cheetah thing? Marsupalami?
There we go. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah. That thing. That's French, apparently. I don't know.
I don't judge.
Was it Marsupalami? It's not Disney. Marsupalami. Not exactly Disney.
Oh, is it not? I thought it was.
I don't know. That's what I'm receiving word. It's not exactly Disney. I don't know what it is, but... No, I just remember
regional thing, kind of like how Three Caballeros is not known as much in North America for some reason.
I just remember Bonkers. Bonkers is weird.
Or Goof Troop. We don't really need Goof Troop.
We don't?
That can no.
Oh.
Nah.
Quack Pack?
We had it acknowledged in DuckTales. That's enough.
It got way more acknowledgement in DuckTales than ever. I think anybody expected. What about the Mighty Ducks?
Oh yeah, that was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah, it was actually. Bringing back Mighty Ducks would be a surprise out of left field, but it would be great.
It would. God, if they tied that into the Duck universe somehow.
Yeah. They got it.
I would also like to see Gargoyles picked up and Goliath Chronicles kind of forgotten, but...
Gargoyles, yes. Might as well bring it back, everything else. Buy that nostalgia, Disney. Mine it for all it's worth. Here's a question from Off. Hey, Ian, I have a question about everyone's favorite Last of His Kind Guardian of the Master Emerald. Particularly why he's still guarding the Great Green MacGuffin. I've heard the last time it appeared in-game was Adventure 2, although my own research has shown me it has appeared or been mentioned in numerous games afterwards, and there seems to be some people that believe you keep writing the Master Emerald in the comics because you think it's what fans want to see. Is this the case? Do you have any insightful knowledge you could pass on to us on this? Or is this one of those I do what Sega says, or do what Sega doesn't say I can't do situations?
I can say that I don't include it for fan service, that's for sure. But it's part of Knuckles' character. His job is to guard the Master Emerald. And notes that I have received are that's what he does.
And he's still doing it, apparently.
Yeah. Never mind all the times he didn't in-game. That doesn't count, apparently. But
don't worry about it. You think about it too hard and your head will explode.
I'm just trying to follow the narrative as it has been presented. He lives on Angel Island. He guards the Master Emerald. And if he's not, there needs to be a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could take the game route and say he's here now. Don't question it. But I don't like that. I feel like that's sloppy. I don't want to be that sloppy. So.
Yeah, I just go. He just takes pay time off. It's fine. The Master Emerald is a very benevolent boss. willing to give you the time you need, you know? How nice of it. Here's a question from Les. A while back, someone asked about the character's favorite pizza toppings. Still got Panzerati's on the mind. If the main characters were treated to dinner at a hot dog joint, what would they get? Swiss rolls? Shakes? Mint candy?
Well, yeah, Tails would get mint candy, hands down.
Yummy, yummy. Would they get hot dogs? Maybe chili dogs, even?
I mean, yeah, Sonic would get a chili dog. I mean,
only one?
An order. How many is in that order, I leave to your imagination, but...
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Like, Amy would definitely get some kind of shake. She's into the sweet stuff. Cream would get some kind of kid's meal, because of course. But she would be angry that they just assumed that Cheese gets a kid's meal because Cheese is a little man. He's all grown up. He gets a full adult meal.
Excuse me, he asked for pickles.
What?
Lee says, excuse me, he asked for pickles.
Okay.
Chad is the obstinate one and wants a cheeseburger at the hot dog joint.
Well, why not? I don't have anything to add. Do you have anything else?
Other than Charmy throwing a fit because he didn't get the toy he wanted in his meal. No, I think that's about it.
Okay, good enough. Here's a question from Speedweed. How would Sonic react to knowing about Mega Man's eventual dark future with the likes of the later X titles and the Zero series of games? On a similar note of the Sonic reaction to Mega Man's future, how would you figure Wily would feel knowing that Zero would eventually save the world in the most metal way possible, especially given Zero's original purpose?
For Sonic, I imagine he would be concerned for his friend, but would have faith in him to see it through. Because we don't know how the classic era ends. It may have a happy ending to it in the end, and, you know, Rock meets some form of positive conclusion. In which case, you know, Sonic would be happy for him. And sure, there's trials and tribulations in the meanwhile, but he has faith in him to overcome them. As for Wily... I imagine that he would see the entire thing spelled out to him. All the highs and lows, all the intricacies, all the subversions, all the intricacies and double dealings and betrayals and whatnot. And would just kind of be nodding along. And then when you get to the end, he would say, so the takeaway here is that Zero kills Mega Man and saves the world. Well, yeah, if you want to sum it up that succinctly, but perfect. See, eat it light. I'm vindicated. My boy wins. Yours dies. Why? Because of my robot. I win. I win. La 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 la.
Yeah, that's Wily. That sounds like Wily. That's what he got. That's what he got. Yep. That's his whole takeaway. I like it. I like it. Here's a question from PC the Unicorn. Ian, in Worlds Collide, you had Sonic mention that he'd love to see what Mega Man could do with a Wisp. Did you have any plans or concepts of Mega Man using Wisp? And how do you think that would look like?
No plans. Kind of wish we had done that in Worlds Unite rather than what we did with Worlds Unite. But I would imagine that because Wisps are empower those that they are comfortable with, that the infusion of their power would be easy enough. And Mega Man would adapt their power like the variable Wisp bond. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Whether or not he changed color, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's kind of a standard for Mega Man. Or maybe just to differentiate it, he gets like Tron-esque running lights of those colors.
I mean, that does sound kind of cool. Does sound pretty cool.
But I mean, Mega Man using Wisp powers is like one of the easiest combos you could possibly come up with. That one would have been fun to do, but we didn't because we did other stuff. No regrets about Worlds Collide. That one, I don't think I'd change anything about that. Unite, yeah, well, we've covered that.
Here's a question from Stanley D. In the Encyclopedia, is it possible we will find out about the Chaos Emerald's origins, what the Master Emerald can really do now, and if the two-world snafu is donezo? It's okay if you want to back out of this question, since this could still be under wraps or NDA until the release of the book. Or we could get a hashtag knowing smile out of this. Can't wait for it, by the way.
The Encyclopedia is an informational book more in the historical sense. It's not a lore book. So I did try to fit in factoids here and there, but honestly, it's been so long since I wrote the bloody thing, I don't remember all the nuances in there. So you'll just have to read it yourself and we'll find out together.
Well, then, I guess you'll just have to buy it. Darn. No early answers for you.
And that's not like a sneaky shill. I honestly don't remember.
No. No, I'm being the sneaky shill. Here's a question from Scruffy Matt. Do you think that an open-world, mission-based game could work for the Sonic franchise? Something where you have a giant world to explore and different objectives littered across the map, like what we've seen in Spider-Man, Batman Arkham Knight, Red Dead Redemption, and so on? If you don't feel that would work for Sonic himself, do you think it might work better for another character? What are your thoughts?
It might work for Sonic. The thing with a lot of those open-world games is your progress across the world is relatively slow, and there's lots of things to slow you down, being, you know, buildings to climb or gated areas or difficult terrain, never mind all the distractions littered throughout the map. And Sonic is all about high speed, and you can't really do that. Like, imagine one of the Spider-Man games and just trying to sprint Sonic, like, between all the traffic down the streets. Like, sure, dodging the traffic would be fun in its own right, but it isn't, like, the free and open exploration that I think a lot of people think about when they try to think of open-world Sonic. And that would mean to get enough time to enjoy the speed and enjoy the freedom and the exploration, the map would have to be absolutely gigantic. And you would have to spread the diversions out really, really far so that you enjoyed the travel there. And I don't know if you can really do that. I mean, maybe if you had kind of like a Breath of the Wild-sized map at the speed of the Epona bike, but without a, you know, fuel limit. It might be possible, but it would take a lot of work and planning. Personally, I would prefer to see that kind of gameplay done with Knuckles on Angel Island.
Yeah.
Like, actually map out Angel Island, all the zones from the various games, and connect them and explore the island. Climb that big old mountain in the middle. You know, explore down through the ruins and get into Hydro City and then make your way back up. You know, just find the wreckage of the Flying Battery. You know, give me that island to fully explore. In SA1, when you go through that tunnel in the Red Mountains and you come onto the edges of Angel Island and can go out that bridge to the Master Emerald, that blew my mind, dude. Like, you're able to run around a smidgen of Angel Island. You're able to explore just that tiny, tiny bit. And I wanted the whole island. I wanted all of it. Gimme, 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 gimme. So that, I feel like, would be more conducive to that style of gameplay, because sure, Knuckles is fast, but he isn't known for his speed, whereas everyone would expect Sonic would have to do the speed thing. Knuckles is more known for his climbing and gliding and exploration, and that gives you reason to build lots of vertical spaces and take your time hiding things, so that the player takes their time exploring and climbing and, you know, just enjoying the scenery rather than moving through it. But that's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just too bad Sega doesn't have the confidence to do a Sonic game without Sonic in it anymore. So, I wish that weren't the case. I want a Knuckles solo game. A Metroidvania, yes. An open world exploration game, yes. I want them all.
I'd take either a Metroidvania or a Breath of the Wild Knuckles game.
Why not both?
Kyle, I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah, well, you can figure it out. You don't have to play it all at once.
Are you kidding me? You give that to me, I'm going to skip meals.
Yeah, you're right. Here's one from Alphamon Oryuken. I assume that's how you pronounce that. Since Metal Knuckles is confirmed to be limited to the classic era, could we still get a robot version of our favorite knucklehead in the form of Mega Knuckles from Sonic Advance?
Sorry, who was that?
Mecha Knuckles.
There we go. Not sure where you got that confirmation from, because I know I didn't say that. Could be somebody doing a bad transcription from this show, because I know those circle around.
Oh, yeah. Your summaries are appreciated, but they're not always accurate.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't tested whether Metal Knuckles is available or not. Given the design, I feel like he is appropriate for modern, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If we can't access him, number one, I call shenanigans. And number two, you're absolutely right. Mecha Knuckles is in the modern setting as of Advanced. So yep. Maybe we could trot him out. I wouldn't mind seeing SA1's Mecha 3, Mecha Sonic 3 come back. So just need the time and the excuse.
Dun, dun, dun. Here's one from Invade Turbo Tunis. Ian, how does it feel to have the characterizations of Fang, Bean, and Bark that you created in the Archie books, which then you traverse into the IDW Classic one-shot? Correct me if I'm wrong, but you technically created who they are in terms of personality, and Sega approved that. You gave them an identity. Not to mention, they paired them up in Sonic Mania as a boss battle. That's pretty awesome, if you ask me.
It is, and I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, it's like, how did I get away with this? Why are we allowed to have this good thing? I don't trust it. When is the revision going to come? But that was one of the things with the classic special, is me testing the waters to see, you know, if we could keep those characterizations, like if that would fly. Fang was definitely more goofy than his Archie counterpart. I was trying to skew him a little more comedic in that run, but he had had such a history of being a serious character that it was hard to do so. And that was the biggest change, I guess, but that stuck. Bean was Bean. That didn't change at all.
It was kind of amazing. I'm like, wow. Yeah. You really kept everybody the same.
Maybe I toned him down a little bit, but that's, you know, still the base level Looney Tunes that we kind of started out at. The only one I really got notes on was Bark, and that they wanted him to not be an outright villain, but they were fine with him being with the group doing villainous things. So we just had that line from Amy saying that, you know, he seems like a nice guy, he just hangs out with bad people. And then adding those little moments like him not attacking her or being gentle with her or giving her his scarf or, you know, not really rising to anger until really prompted.
Right.
But he still remained the wordless stoic guy. So I guess that's it. I guess that is official now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a chance that a game will come out later that reintroduces them properly, more than just the Mania cameo fight, and rewrites them. In which case, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted. But for now, I'm just kind of reveling in it. And that isn't, you know, I shouldn't claim that all as my own, because a lot of it comes from folks on Sega's end who enjoyed it and worked to incorporate it.
Right.
Those who did the wanted posters and Generations, the team that actually put them in Mania. I don't know how much resistance they had, but they did it. They're in there. So, I mean, big kudos to them for taking my idea and running with it and doing something with it and helping to legitimize it. Because I don't think the classic book would have been able to do that without their work. So,
right.
Just
so good. Happy. So good to see them again. Very, very nice. I very much like that. I'm just disappointed you couldn't call them the Hooligans.
That might still be on the table.
Okay.
I don't know. Interesting. I've heard rumblings, but I probably shouldn't say any more because I don't know myself. I've just heard talkings. But if we can get the Hooligans as a name back too, that's the cherry on top. At that point, I'm good. Yep. I can ask for nothing else.
Yep.
That's a dirty lie. I will ask for all the things.
Except
bring
for
back honey.
Yes, bring back honey. Bring back honey. Yes. Let honey be existing. And our last question before we take a break is from Digama. Green hair, black sclera, designed by Adam. The rumor come out. Does Clutch is Dragoon?
No, Clutch is not secretly a Dragoon.
Oh.
Yet.
Yet. And yet, it's time to take a break. So let's do that right now on the Bumblecast.
Give me a break from that Bumblecast. Give me a break from that Bumblecast.
And we're back. Here we go. Creative name is here for the question. We all know about Sega sending editorial notes asking for things to be changed for the comic, but do you ever get positive feedback on your work from on high? Obviously, Sega likes your work enough to keep you under their employ, but do they ever send back specific notes like, we liked it when Sonic did X, or when he had to fight Y? This exchange between Tangle and Knuckles was really funny in issue Z. If so, what was the most uplifting or inspiring or surprising positive feedback you've gotten from them?
Not a lot, because usually it's very cut and dry. You know, we don't have a lot of time for back and forth. And also, just to be clear, the order of operations here is IDW continues to employ me. And they have the license for the Sonic book. Sega does not employ me to write the comic. Let's just be clear about that. I know there's still confusion going around there. Not calling you out, creative name. I'm just using this opportunity to clarify. I guess Sega does like me, because I guess if they didn't, they could tell IDW to stop hiring me. But that's something else. Anyway, to your question, not a lot. But there have been the occasional notes where their excitement over an element kind of comes over. I remember distinctly that when we were first introducing Whisper, and I was worried about them, you know, not wanting a variable Wispon because it was too derivative of the actual Wispons, or having a note about her design or her backstory or something. And instead, the note came back was, this is really cool. What if she had refracting crystals like out of Sonic Colors, so you could use the cyan laser to bank shots around things? And I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. I like this note. Yes. Yes, please. Or there was a note towards the end of Metal Virus where the Chaotix are just hammered with work and Vanilla and Cream show up to help. And their note in there was, back in Sonic X, there was this kind of flirty relationship between Vanilla and Vector, and people seemed to like that. Would you want to include that? I'm like, sure. That was hilarious. If you guys give me the green light to do that, I will absolutely work that back in.
Nice.
With Surgeon Kit, and I can't get into it right now, but when we were getting them approved, their notes came back saying that they felt like their origins didn't quite fit, so they wanted it done a different way. And my concern was that they were just going to reject the characters outright, but they were like invested in the characters involved and the story behind them, and so their revisions were to the story itself, which meant they were paying attention to it, which means clearly I've got someone's attention, which is nice.
Nice.
And it wasn't like a huge change, but it was a big change, but it gave them a different facet. We had to explore the story in a different way, but the core idea, I guess, is still. And just a quick aside, the hype for these two is just overwhelming. You guys are amazing. All the fan art of them just being them, going off of that one particularly amazing Evan Stanley cover, is just overwhelming. You guys are great. I really hope you like what I write, because expectations are high and I'm nervous, but I'm always nervous. So
Someone said there was an article that said your last Sonic issue was issue number 44. Like, they were talking as if it was your last Sonic issue ever. All right.
The article is phrased funny, but
I think so.
It's my last issue for 2021.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm not going anywhere. I've got other stuff planned.
Okay, good. That clarifies things, because we were talking about that earlier, actually. Some of us on the Bumblecast Discord, and the way they phrased it was very much like you're ending a long run after issue number 44, and it's like, wait a minute, you already kind of stopped being the main head writer a while ago, like almost a year ago,
right?
Technically, but you've still been around, and
right,
you did come back for the 4-issue arc. 41 to 44, but yep, the way they phrased it made it sound like 44 was the end of the road, and it's like, wait, huh? I'm guessing they misunderstood. I'm guessing they misunderstood something somewhere, and some wires got crossed. Yeah, so,
because I wrap up my arc in 44, and then Evan takes back over as lead writer, and while she does her stuff, I've got Imposter Syndrome running every other month.
Right.
In tandem with her stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Okie dokie. Good. I'm glad. We were a little worried. Here's a question right here from the Hobo Joe. I've always been curious what the process is writing for Free Comic Book Day. I know near the end, most Sonic issues were reprints, and I remember you saying somewhere that you tried to keep the free issues out of the main story, so if anyone skipped it, they wouldn't be missing something important. Is it a separate assignment? Do you have to make a point of saying the story is for free issues? What exactly happens?
So if the editors want to spend the money on an original or on original content for Free Comic Book Day, that is like any other assignment. It's, you know, in the past, the editor would come to me and say, okay, we're doing a story for Free Comic Book Day. What are your ideas? Now, what can you do? What do you pitch? Like any other story, it just has to be standalone, and it needs to be accessible to a very large audience, because we're trying to get people in who don't normally read. And as you said, I prefer to keep it continuity light, because I don't want it to be bogged down, or for the dedicated reader to feel left out if they miss that issue. And from there, it's just like pitching any other story. It's just, it has those criteria to meet, which can be challenging in some cases and in other times not, because you don't have to worry about the repercussions. It's just tell a fun story.
Yeah. Nice. And our next question is from none other than a Scurvy Pirate Hog. If Starlin had not gone behind Eggman's back and brought in the Deadly Six, you think there's a chance Eggman would have been able to get back control of the virus and Zombots eventually? Just something I've been curious about.
Well, we know he didn't, because in issue 8, Silver comes from the future where everything is dead.
Dun dun dun. Except he's still alive somehow, magically.
Well, because he wasn't there when it happened.
Oh, okay.
Time travel wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, clearly.
But yeah, it's issue 8. Silver's brief panel showing you his devastated future is, yeah, Eggman does not get control. Everything ends very badly.
Very, very poorly. All right, here's a question from Pan Dulce. Since there is no plans to tell Starline's story before he began to work for Dr. Eggman, can you tell us how did he find the 7 Chaos Emeralds?
The same way he found Mr. Tinker is he abused the power of the Warp Topaz to search the world super fast. And when he found one, just whoop, picked it up.
That's cheating. That's
he's a bad guy.
That's cheating. How rude.
Gosh. He ball hacks, literally.
Gosh. Jeez.
God, can you imagine doing Blue Spheres and the music is playing at 7,000 RPM and you are barely keeping control and you're closing in on the bloody emerald and then just the warp ring opens and he goes, yoink!
Wow, that's mean. That's mean. I like it. I like it.
And then he somehow throws a red sphere at you. It makes that red dodgeball boing noise when it hits you in the face.
And then it goes, and you start spinning around super fast and everything goes white and it's just a nightmare. Screw off, Starline. Here's a question from Censored. I'm not censoring them, that's their name. I've heard from you that if the modern Freedom Fighters appeared in a game, they wouldn't sound like their SATA-M counterparts. That brings up the question, who would voice Sally Acorn, Bunny, Nicole, Lupe, and Rotor? Well, we've been through this a couple times, I think, but, you know, it's priorities, so.
I know. And let me clarify, I wouldn't expect it to be the original voice cast, because why bank on good things? But, I mean, maybe...
Some of them are sadly no longer with us. That would be part of it.
There's that, too. But, I mean, if they went so far as to bring them back, maybe they would go whole hog and bring back who they could. Just for nostalgia's sake. I could be very wrong. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but, you know, I don't know everything. I am wrong on occasion.
What? How dare you admit that? I mean, there are some people who think they would never admit that in a million years, but here you are admitting it. What the heck?
Yes, yes, it's all part of my cunning plan or whatever. But, for voices, I don't know.
We know Christina V has expressed interest in voicing Sally.
Yeah, so
she could probably do deal. It. Yeah.
Lupe would be... Here's the thing with Lupe is... To me, SATA-M made it pretty clear they had Native American undertones.
Yeah.
And then in the comic, for a bit, they were more generic Spanish, Hispanic, maybe. And then I tried to mash those together and make them kind of Mesoamerican, which is, you know, not the ideal solution, but I was trying to honor what came before in both regards, so... Your mileage on that may vary. So which version of Lupe would you want? You know, would be cool if you could get a native voice actress to do her, though.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Not sure if she would be included if we were getting the core Freedom Fighters back, but at this point, we're just wildly speculating. So who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. We've been through this before. You can go back through the check the master list. Q&A master list and check out those episodes where we answered some very similar questions to this. Here's a question from Jib. In Team Sonic Racing, there's a moment in the Japanese version where Sonic is joking around with Silver about the way he used to be in 06, and then he was out to destroy him once, but Silver does not recall what he's talking about. I was curious, is Sonic the only character that remembers the events of 06, or does it vary from character to character?
I did not know that.
Intriguing.
Yeah. That puts a whole different perspective on things. Like, I don't know. That might be a question I have to take to Sega at some point and say, what? I mean, that's one of the frustrating things, too, is when the English language and the Japanese language have different details, because then what is canon? Now, it's easy enough to fall back and say the games are canon. That's the foundation we build from. But if they don't agree between region, what do you do?
They don't even agree between games, much less the region. I mean,
but I had not heard of that. Not doubting you specifically, Jib, but I do know that some translations and such can be misinterpreted here and there. So if somebody else can verify that. Not to call Jib a liar. Absolutely not saying that. I'm just making sure that everybody has their facts straight. If that is the case, that's really interesting. I don't know what to do with that information, but it's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Does Sonic remember the events of 06? Probably. Does it matter? It hasn't since 2006. So, yeah. Oh, weird. Duizdizdin has a question. Ian, recently you received a special thanks in the credits of the animated Sonic Colors Rise of the Wisps Part 1. Are you able to tell us what your contribution was toward this project?
Just a little bit of script doctoring. Nothing huge, because the script that was there was already great. Tip of the hat to Tyson and... Nerds, who else worked on the script? I can't remember off the top of my head. But just a very small additions.
Intriguing.
To the point where I'm watching it going, oh, this is fun. Did I write that? No, was that there before already? Do I take credit for that witty line, or was that somebody else being better than I am? I don't know. I don't remember. Oh, well, it's fun.
How dare they be better than you? How dare? I'm joking. Joking, obviously. Here's a question from Sonic. Are all of the characters' powers, whether it be super speed, super strength, characters being able to fly and glide when it makes no sense, like Tails and Knuckles, or being able to pull weapons from nowhere, SBO and Amy, caused by chaos energy powering them up?
No. That's just cartoon physics.
It's just how it works.
No. I mean, I think it's implied that SBO's kunai are hidden in his bracers, maybe? That doesn't explain the giant shuriken that he throws. As for Tails, he makes perfect sense. He spins his tails and that causes lift. I see absolutely no biomechanical reason that shouldn't work.
Nope. Makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, can't argue with that. It is called Hammer
ask
Space
anybody
for
out
a
there
reason.
With, like, nice long, I mean, yeah. Ask anybody with nice long dreadlocks how far they can glide. I'm sure they have an impressive record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't ask strangers about how they can fly with their hair. That would be rude.
I'm getting answers in saying not all that far. Not far enough.
I've never had dreadlocks, so I can't test it myself.
Oh, well, neither have I. Here's a question from Michael. The question I have for you is in regards to IDW issues 31 and 32. Your last story as head writer for the series. To me, this story seemed like a great end cap to not only your run on IDW Sonic, but Archie as well. Issue 160 and 161 of Archie and 31 and 32 of IDW both feature Eggman crashing a party in a fairly lighthearted manner. Sonic's birthday in Archie and the Metal Virus victory party in IDW. Even the graphic novel release that contains 31 and 32 is named Out of the Blue, the tagline for issue 160 of Sonic. Was all this intentional? If so, is there anything else snuck in there to reference your run on Sonic? To add one more point, when Sonic is being reminded of who he really is by Blaze, while in his Mr. Needlemouse persona, some of the lines she says about remembering the hero he is seemed a bit referential to not only IDW, but Archie as well. If we assume Sonic, like Eggman, saw behind the fourth wall and realized he's the hero in a comic, do you think he could also have seen glimpses of Archie stuff pre- and post-reboot as well? That's the sense I got last time I read that scene. Most likely unintentional, but a cool fan theory and a nice nod that the memories of the old book live on.
So I really hate to burst your bubble, but absolutely not. There was no reference to the previous book in any shape or form.
At least not intentionally.
Now, the correlations that you picked up are kind of cute, but they were not intentional. I was kind of amused when they chose Out of the Blue for the trade name, but I had no hand in that. So everything was coincidental.
Yep. We'll go with that. Here's a question from Dove, and our last question on this episode of the Bumblecast. Ian, I've been wondering something. So every Sonic character is basically a child of the year they were created, right? What I mean is Sonic is a perpetual 90s kid, just at different points in his life. So are Tails, Eggman, and Knuckles. But if Sonic is stuck in his teens, 20s at the latest, that means Eggman Man, that's the typo, is most likely somewhere in his 30s right now, meaning Eggman is a dark millennial. So my question is this, was Eggman more into Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign, or Meatloaf, I Would Do Anything for Love, but I Won't Do That?
See, I don't know whether I should try to tackle the generational interpretation of the characters, the actual timeline of what their ages would be, or the question about the song, because I get it's a joke, but we've already established I'm really, really bad with music trivia, so I don't have a good punchline for that.
You don't know? Do you know either of those songs? Like, he's seeing the titles, do you know what they sound like? Are you familiar with that?
I heard of Meatloaf.
I mean, it's delicious sometimes, but the music artist does not know. It's a little weird.
You have
almost certainly at some point heard I Would Do Anything for Love in your life at some point, even if it's just in a movie or a commercial or something, but you may not know.
And I don't think I like it.
Yeah, well, it's not the greatest Meatloaf song. There are better ones.
As for Ace of Base and I Saw the Sign, maybe it's one of those things where, like, you put it on the radio, I'm like, oh, it's that one.
Yeah, you'll know.
But I'm drawing a complete blank right now.
I saw the sign. I opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Yeah, okay, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I remember the lyrics now that you sing them. Uh-huh. Or at least those sets of the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. You remember the chorus.
Yeah, sort of. So
what
Dove,
do you what do you listen
to?
Video game music?
My own troubled thoughts? I mean,
I listen to those too. I mean, not yours, mine.
Get out of my head, Charles.
No, Eric.
Okay, so I know what we're cosplaying as whenever we go to a show together.
I guess I'm not shaving my head.
Dove. Oh yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Make sure of that.
No, I'm not. No,
absolutely
no.
To answer your question, Dove, I am inept at this point, so I have no satisfying answer for you. Hopefully, me floundering and prostrating myself before you in my ignorance will be satisfying in recompense.
For some reason, I can easily imagine Eggman belting out Meatloaf songs karaoke style, which is frightening. I don't know why, but it just scares me. I don't know, maybe it's because Meatloaf is also a very portly, loud man. So, you know, you kind of relate.
Would he be able to take his role in Fight Club?
Maybe. But we don't talk about Fight Club, so.
That's true. My bad.
And that's it. That's our final question on this episode of the Bumblecast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back on Wednesday with standard Q&As from the folks out in the wide world of the internet.
Before we wrap it up, we're going to give a big thank you to everyone who makes this show possible. Thank you to Daniel H., Alex P., James K., John B., Jennifer R., Robotnik Holmes, Samuel P., Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Justin G., Mike B., Kooplin Crew 128, Diane W., Brad B. T. T., Andrew D., Scruffy Matt, Chris A., Sony, Salute Your Cat, John M., Noni, Dave M., Off, Don B., Yami M., Sin Fritz, Lee H.K., Lisa M., Silly String, Chevelle, J. Frost, Piggy Bank, Jib, Hero of Light 13, Blue Title Gamer, Tick Tick, Justin S, Final Neil, Ryan D, Speedweed, Jonathan D, Rachel W, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Daniel B, Dabbler of the Dalek, PC the Unicorn, Dove, Preston M, Red the Supernamic, Pendolce, Joe S, Flixie, Chad, Jonathan R, Chase L, Owen BD, Ben Wolfsbane, Renard Pixel, Creative Name, Les, Invade, Turbo, Tunis, Donnie the Light, Sapphire Scarletta, Turbo, Crooker, John the Real Waluigi, Noah S, Carlos, Louis J, Lexi Loves Jojo, Cordero Highwind, Bad Piggy's Lover. You got me there. Alphabon Oryukin, Nietzsche, Michael, Zender Oni the Painter, and Scurvy Pirate Hog.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. Always some new names every week. I like it. I like it. Where can the people find you on the internet, Ian?
Head over to BumbleKing.com or find me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. Kyle, what about you?
You can find me over at KyleJCRB. You can also listen to my other show, Nitro Game Injection. That's over at the KNGI Network at KNGI.org. And you can listen to that one streaming live on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's all about video game music, remixes, covers, arrangements, and all of that fun fan-made stuff. So be sure to check it out. And of course, KNGI.org is also where you can find the Bumblecast in MP3 downloadable format. And all the RSS feeds and podcast links and everything are over there. So be sure to go check it out. And it's also on BumbleKing.com, so you can go to either one and enjoy.
That's going to wrap us up for today. We'll see you on Wednesday for more Bumblecast. And then more Bumblecast after that, and more Bumblecast after that. And, oh, God, it never ends. Till then, be good to yourselves. Be good to each other, and we'll see you then.
It just keeps coming. So much Bumblecast everywhere. It's a Bumblecast all the time. No, no, no.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at BumbleKing.com and KNGI.org.
Yeah, I don't really have anything. I mean, I finished Mario Odyssey. I mean, I 100%ed Mario Odyssey, so that's the only thing I've done interesting. All 860 moons, buddy!
Good lord. I thought there were more than that.
No. Well, you can get up to...
Not that that's a small number, but...
You can get up to... Yes, all of them, Scruffy. You can get up to 999. But the ones that you can collect from levels... And from doing stuff, that's only 860. The other 140 come from buying them from the store. So, yeah. You can't do the trace walking? It took me a couple tries, but I never really had a huge problem with it. The one I had a problem with was the jump rope one.
That one lives in infamy.
I glitched that one. I didn't get that one legit. I glitched it. And then the volleyball one, I used two-player mode. And did it as Cappy instead because he's much easier to control than Mario. So, yeah, maybe not legit on all of them, but whatever.
I never asked if you did it legit. I just asked if you did.
Yeah, I mean, I did it, but yeah, you know. I did most of them legit. Anyway, I'm ready to go.